So Zeke,
howdy.
Let's have a nice chat about the art scene.
Yeah, well, it's actually not quite the art scene. It's about how to develop your own art scene.
How to develop your own art scene. Yeah, that's right. How do you launch yourself into the arts, no?
Yeah, because it occurred to me last week, I was talking with some friends, suddenly realized there are an awful lot of people who don't know how to collect art.
Mm.
And it's the sort of thing where I get asked, like, so where should I go so as to get cheap art? And I sort of want to tell the person who asked that question, well, you can go always like dumpster diving. You can go check out the back alleyways and stuff like that. But I don't think exactly that's the answer they would like, because invariably, implied in that question is that they want a object that looks pretty above their couch that then they can sell later for more money than they bought it for. And it is the sort of thing where that is, to me, the absolute bass-ackwards, upside-down, most horrible, despicable, rude, unkind, and inconsiderate way to go about buying a piece of art ever. There, I said it. But it's the sort of thing where if you go thinking about it, you can actually start a collection extremely easily, and the whole idea behind a collection is just to get to know stuff better and better. And I was in discussion with a different friend, who, while they are an art historian, actually don't collect art. They just go see it, because that's the other confusing thing, is here in Quebec, an awful lot of people don't collect art. They just go see it, and by seeing it, they support it. But it's the sort of thing where I just think back when I was a child and stuff like that, and I would collect rocks. And so it'd be the sort of thing where I'd pick up a rock, and then about 10 feet later, I'd go see another rock, and I'd pick it up, and then about another 10 feet later, I'd pick up another rock, and then suddenly that afternoon, I had a collection of all the rocks that I had passed on my way home from school, or from school to home, and at which point it was perfect. It was a complete, comprehensive unit. There were no rocks left on the ground. I was sort of, taking away all the natural resources and so on, because I was taking away all the rocks from the ground and stuff like that.
Okay.
But it is the sort of thing where that's one of the things that I realize is very, very, to my mind, significant and important when you are going about thinking about collecting, whether it is art, whether it is butterflies, whether it is tables, whether whatever. But it's the sort of thing of to be extremely focused. And it's the sort of thing where if you sort of go to one art gallery that promises you that the art will triple in value in the next 5 years, and then you're down in, Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and you see this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing that looks, it would absolutely match the couch. And so you buy it so as to put it over the couch. And then there's this other piece that you see when you're visiting your aunt in Portland. And so you buy it, but then you realize that your aunt actually, her birthday passed, and you screwed up because you don't know her that well, so you end up sort of keeping it. And it's sort of, then you have sort of three different objects that are all art, and it's not really good. It's sort of like almost having dinner where you have sort of Oreo cookies and then a steak and then sushi. And it's all fine and dandy, and they're all food, and they're all probably really good and delicious and so on. But as far as making a nice, well-rounded and complete dinner, it just doesn't cut it. And so, yes, having that object that you got in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, the one for your aunt and the one that you got cheap in the gallery because it's going to increase in value, not the way. The better way, I find, to go about starting to collect art is, first of all, go out and see stuff. There are, I don't know, I've ranted and raved here about how there are over 400 art galleries in town. Start on a weekend and choose four, and at which point see if you like any of the stuff in them. And then if you got some excess money, you can sort of say, okay, I'm gonna do something wicked cool. Say, take, let's say, Gallery Clark, which I think is a gallery you like. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. And imagine every year they have a fundraising auction. Pardon?
There are many out there. Yes.
I do know that Gallery Clark has a fundraising auction every December. And it is the sort of thing where even during their shows that they have, it is the sort of thing where you can even buy the art even though there is no real price tag on it and they don't do the red dot thing. Mm. But it's the sort of thing where imagine if you just took it upon yourself to, say, starting in 2011, next year, buy one piece of art from every single artist who exhibited at Gallery Clark for the next 5 years. You'd say, whoa. And then suddenly in 2015, somebody come over to your house and say, holy smokes, this is amazing. And it'd be the sort of thing where by, say, 2013, you would be conversant and as knowledgeable about the art that had exhibited at Gallery Clark as anybody who was a member or a curator there. And then it's on top of it, because of the sort of thing, because you'd be conversant and knowledgeable about it, then you sort of start saying, okay, I can exert my taste here. I can much more let my taste exert some influence here. And so then, as opposed to just buying one of everything, suddenly you like some guy like, say, Matthew Beausejour. You say, nah, he's got a show. Let me buy three. And then because you have developed a relationship with the gallery, it's a sort of thing where they think you are a wonderful and absolutely amazing and absolutely superlative example of a human being. So it is the sort of thing where for just the normal plebs out there, the hoi polloi and the great unwashed, they might be able to pay one price. But because you've been buying regularly, like clockwork, you can probably get a discount as well. And when you get the discounts, that's where the art increases in value, because then you already have built in that automatic sort of bump up of it increases in value. Because if you get, say, a 20% discount, then you know right off the bat it's worth 20% more than you paid.
I have a question.
Shoot.
As I always tend to do.
That's fine.
Wouldn't it also help if you go to the art auctions to help get yourself a better idea of what kind of art is out there as well?
It depends. In terms of, it's a sort of, it's sort of like if you, the Heffel, which is one of the larger, major, more robust and influential auction houses in Canada. They just had an auction at the end of May. And for the most part, most, I'd say 95% of the stuff that they auction off is by dead people.
So then, so, I guess it's a different kind of perspective of the value of art then.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing where it's
not the same type of collecting.
You can do the same sort of collecting. It's the sort of thing where if you want to collect dead artists, then at which point you say, okay, I'm going to collect the Group of Seven. Or I'm going
to
collect.
That seems to be very, very important these days.
It's been important since. They actually started up. It was a very conscious decision on their part. They said, we want to be influential, we want to be important, we want to be significant. And so they very conscious, they were all advertising guys.
The past 2 years I've been seeing.
No, I'm going back to the 1920s.
Yes, I know, but I'm talking about what is now in art auctions.
Oh, they've always been the top sellers. So you go back, you just weren't around in the 60s and 70s.
True, I wasn't. I had to read the headlines.
But no, there it's the same sort of thing where if you decide that you want to collect the Group of Seven, first of all, you got to be a lot richer to collect the Group of Seven, than to collect, say, everybody who exhibits at Gallery Clark. But it is the sort of thing where if you are collecting the Group of Seven, then suddenly you go out and get a Damien Hirst. People are going to sort of scratch their head. Can you hear that on the microphone?
Mm-hmm. Well, I heard it. I don't know if our listeners can.
Sorry about the dandruff on the microphone. It is the sort of thing where people are going to sort of scratch their head and say, why do you have a Damien Hirst when you have some Group of Sevens? That just does not make sense. It is, again, going back to sort of like having the Oreos and the sushi. It just, yeah, they're fine and dandy, but it's, you don't do the two of them together. You have your Oreos when you're 7 years old with a glass of chocolate milk, and then you go take your nap. You have your sushi when you are 35 years old and you're trying to impress the hell out of somebody you really, really like.
Who would have thought art could be like this? It could be so... category.
Oh, it did. Everybody. It's very, very, it's relatively simple. It's the sort of thing, first choose what you like and then stick with it. And it is the sort of thing where if your taste changes over time, that's fine. So I can remember when I was collecting records and so on, I started out with your standard issue top 40 stuff, and then I went into slightly weird jazz stuff, and then I went into slightly weird classical stuff, and then I went out to out and out weird, just strange, wonky things that nobody, including myself, would ever consider calling music, but still was fun to listen to, especially when you cranked it up to like 11. And so it is as it morphs. It's the sort of thing where, say, to get back to that initial Gallery Clark collection, it's where the artists themselves will grow and develop as time progresses. And so it's the sort of thing where, say, you take Matthew Beausejour, who I'm assuming is still a member of Gallery Clark since he used to be the president a couple of years ago. But it's the sort of thing where then once you have identified which of the artists and art you like, you then sort of follow those artists, and then they are in various they have other friends, they have other artists who they show with, exhibit with, who are sort of similar, and it sort of morphs and changes, but in a very slow, gradual, and natural progression. In the same way that, if to get back to the dinner sort of example, where if you start with some edamame and miso soup and then go to the sushi, mm-hmm. and then go to the green tea ice cream, you're doing fine.
Well, I thank you, Zeke.
No problem.
For this perspective. Uh-huh. Always very appreciated. I've learned something today.
It's my pleasure.
Can you let us know where Gallery Clark is again?
Gallery Clark is up on that Casgrain McGuire, sort of that big behemoth castle, not a sort of like a 1960s castle-like structure. It's on the ground floor. It's one of those sort of streets that are parallel to Saint Laurent and Saint-Denis in between, and you got to, if you aim for the train tracks and miss. I.e., I don't know the exact address.
Mm, that's okay. I just had to picture it again to see where it was. Is that the one? Because I mistake it for another one.
Yeah, they tend to do, they're not quite sort of traditional art, but then again, they're not quite the sort of multimedia fancy yet. So they're in between Oboro and De Belfay.
All right.
Uh-huh.
So we'll be chatting with you next week. So.
Yes, although we're not going to be doing the Natash.
No.
No, they discovered that the bakeries do not open on Sundays, nor do they open early on Mondays. But I was
amazed that you wanted to do a segment on the Natash.
Oh, I've been going, I don't know what it is recently, but I've just been going through Natash like they're going out of style and comparing bakery to bakery to bakery.
The culinary arts, it is an art.
And I used to think that Bella Vista was the best in town, but not so any longer.
Well, maybe we'll have a little chat about that. You don't have to make a segment on it. Well, there's a lot of art stuff going on.
Uh-huh, right, you got now. It.
So thank you so much, Zeke.